But I'm believing that God's got his hand on the people of Hope Campus because of your faithfulness, right? How many times we've said it? And a lot of people said, well, you call me fat. I said, yeah, because you're faithful, available, and teachable. That spells what? Fat. Hallelujah. And I tell you what, you ever had a ribeye without fat on it? It ain't no good. It ain't no good. You got to have some fat. Hallelujah. And that's what we are here at this church. We're faithful, available, and teachable. Hallelujah. But if you're writing a title down today, you can write down, what did the resurrection do for you? What did it do for you? What did the resurrection do for you? Do we still live our same old life like Peter did before he met Jesus? You know, you said, Peter who? Peter that didn't want to, he denied Jesus three times. He's the one that had the boat and didn't want to go back out because he'd already cleaned up his, he didn't want, you see who I'm saying, Peter, that Peter? We don't want to be like Peter was before. But what did the resurrection do for you? And I could tell you, you know, when you start studying about the resurrection, it does change the way you look at things, the way you act. And, you know, we think the resurrection Sunday is about the time when Jesus rose from the dead, which he did, right? But that ain't all there is to it. There's a whole lot more to that. And but the true meaning of the resurrection, the true meaning is, and what did the resurrection do for you? You know, because, I mean, you know good and well, out of the 12 disciples, well, 11, one of them went off on his own and didn't come back. But you understand what I'm saying, that each one of those disciples had their own mindset. So those 11 were just scattered everywhere trying to make up their mind. But what did the resurrection do for each one of them? And their ministry went strong, didn't it? After that. And we want to thank God that they were able to be there with Jesus, to go out and spread the gospel. That's what Jesus told them to do. And they died doing it except for one. And he got put on an island. And you know, we're talking about John, right? They tried to boil him to death. And he had a purpose. What was that? Well, he had to write the book of Revelation. He got on that little island by himself. But I want you to look in John 20, verse 19, and we'll go all the way down to 23. John 20, 19. And it says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. Hallelujah. Now you saw what he said. The doors were shut. Peace be with you. Now let's go to the verse 20. He says, when he had said this, he showed them his hand and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Next verse. And he says, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. All right, the next verse. He said, what did he do? He said up here in verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. And we have it open here at this church every time to receive the Holy Spirit. Because it's very, very important that you receive the Holy Spirit. All right, verse 23 tells us, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sin of any, they are retained. So he wants us to forgive, right? So, I mean, I've talked with people before that their stomachs weren't good. They're this, that, and there are a whole lot of things going on and all of this kind of stuff. It's because they got unforgiveness in their heart. God tells us right here to forgive. You know, if you forgive somebody, it's gone. But if you don't, it's going to stay. And we're going to have that in us. Hallelujah. I want you to look in John 20. Let's go to verse 24. Hallelujah. Verse 24. And it says, now Thomas called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. Sounds familiar? In verse 25, and he says, the other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. They were at church that day. They saw the Lord. Hallelujah. Where was this other dude? Thomas. So he said to them, unless I see, oh, here we go. He was doubting it, starting it off already. Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. What's changed? Nothing has changed since then. People still don't believe that Jesus died on the cross. I'm serious. There's some people out there that don't believe he died on the cross. So what we do? We just keep preaching the gospel. And then we go to verse 26. He says, and after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas made it to church. He made it to church. Let's get on to that real quick. That's why I don't want to miss, because there's so much going on. And you know, and some she'll tell me something. And I say, man, I didn't see that. But things go on in church that you don't see. Hallelujah. I mean, you think the Spirit of God is moving on somebody over here, the Spirit of God is moving on here. Different. You understand? You know, we don't want to be a doubting Thomas. Well, I don't believe all of that. Well, I'm sorry to tell you that when God moves, he moves. With you or without you. And I can tell you, when the fire of God comes down in this place, I guarantee you, some people are going to be out that door. Because they're going to be afraid. Why do you think we talk about the fire of God? We talk about the Holy Spirit. We talk about that to prepare you when that comes, that day comes. You know, can you imagine be sitting in church one day, and all of a sudden, you hear that trumpet sound, and you turn, and you don't see nobody by you? Oh, I go to church. Why couldn't I go to heaven? That ain't going to get you to heaven. This church, it can get you on the right road to get to heaven, but we can't drag you to heaven. You know, we can't hook you with a rope or a chain and pull you out like a four-wheel drive would pull you out of the mud. No, you got to come out of that mud yourself. And you know how you do that? Well, you trust in Jesus, because Jesus takes us out of the muck and mire. He says that in his word, and sets our feet upon the rock. So you understand that we got to be ready at all times. Be ready for the coming of the Lord. Do anybody in here know what time he's coming? It could be in any second while we're here in this church. And that would be a horrible feeling, like I said, when that trumpet sounds, you look to your right or to your left, and you look everywhere else, and you don't see nobody but you. It's like, you know, you ever been on a cruise? They tell you to be back here at certain time. If you ain't there, that boat's gone. This is a whole lot worse than missing the boat, the cruise boat. But I don't want to miss what Jesus has. Jesus is wanting his time with us. Praise the Lord. Now, what scripture did we leave off of? All right. So we go to 26 now. Yeah, they say, and after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. That's where we were. Jesus came, and the doors being shut. See, Jesus don't need no door. He's the Spirit of God now. The doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, please, peace to you. Praise the Lord. And in verse 27, then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach into my hands here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. I mean, they got people unbelieving. Believing, unbelieving. In verse 28, and Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord, my God. Oh, he saw the light. Jesus, and in verse 29, said, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed. Hallelujah. That's us. That's us. We haven't seen him. He has. And he was still doubting him. And he already told him that I'm going to die and, you know, be crucified, but I'm going to rise again. And he did. Praise the Lord. First thing you get out of this is Thomas missed the service when Jesus showed up. Praise the Lord. Let the Lord speak to your heart. Second thing, Thomas had no faith in believing what he had taken place a little bit earlier, right? Third thing, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And I said, again, that's us. We haven't seen, but we believe. We believe Jesus is coming back. We know that he died for us. But you know, now we have, you know, think about it. Have you ever denied Jesus? You see what I'm saying here? You know, look at Peter. He denied him three times. And in Mark 16:17-7, it says Jesus had something personal to say to Peter. And you know, God don't give up on his people. He probably wouldn't have gave up on Judas. You see what I'm saying? But Judas wouldn't repent. Judas went on his own little way and hung himself. But Peter denied him three times. And he has to say this in his word in Mark 16:7. Let's look at it. And he said, "Now go and tell his disciples." Tell his disciples, including Peter. He's talking to these people. Go tell my disciples, including Peter. And, you know, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee, that you will see him there just as he told you before he died. The part I want you to see here is go tell his disciples, remember at the tomb and all that, go tell his disciples and Peter. Peter denied. He even told Peter he was going to deny him three times, right? Yeah, that's right. No, never. How many times we said, no, I would never do that. Yeah. You know, apparently Jesus wanted to talk to Peter. He wanted to tell Peter something apart from the other disciples, which he did. And it's not recorded in the Bible, but I believe Peter was in a hard place. Have you ever been real sad? You ever know that you really, like, I've really done God bad. I did Jesus bad. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I don't deserve to be a friend of God. I don't deserve that because I denied him three times. And, you know, I just don't know what I'm going to do. And everybody's looking at me like, what did you do that for? Why did you reject him? And, you know, and I believe Peter really deep down in his heart was saying, you did too. But he didn't say that, did he? But I believe he talked to him, and, you know, with the denial. And can you imagine that reunion when he got to see Jesus again? He said, you know, he probably couldn't lift up his head and he looked up his eyes and looked at Jesus, you know, because of the guilt that was on his heart for what he did to Jesus. And, you know, and Jesus knew this is the plan. This is what we got to do so that you can be set free, so that you can be saved. But Peter didn't really understand that. He just felt bad because he finally come to the part of accepting Jesus. Jesus, he was a rough character for Jesus to change his heart and start loving Jesus. And then after this, he felt bad. He couldn't face Jesus, but Jesus wanted him. Jesus is tugging on everybody's hearts at all times when we say, oh man, you just don't know what I did in my past. In my past, I did this. Jesus will never forgive me. Jesus will forgive you. I can tell you that right now. He will forgive you. And, you know, and I can believe after he met with Jesus and what Jesus had spoke to him about, and I believe it enlightened his countenance, and I believe his heart was changed from that hard, cussing kind of guy. You know, he was a rough character. And I imagine we've seen some rough characters in our life. Some of you may have been rough characters in your later life. But you understand what Jesus did exactly for Peter. And he can do that for us. He can do that. And I believe that Peter showed remorse. He showed repentance when he faced Jesus. And I believe that when he left that meeting, individual meeting with Jesus, his life was completely changed. And if you read all about what Peter did later in all the books that he wrote, you'll know his life was changed. Hallelujah. I want you to look in Luke 22:32. And it says, but I have prayed for you. He's talking, you know, you're talking to Peter. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. When you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. And I believe that. He did. He prayed for Peter to strengthen the others, because you know they were down too, because they all loved Jesus. But I believe at the end of that little interview or that little meeting together, that they were together. They were in one accord. Because we know what happened later when they went in the upper room. And you know who was, I don't know if exactly if he was, but I feel like Peter was one of the main headlines in the upper room, because after he went out there, and how many thousands were saved, how many were filled with the Spirit of God, thousands. Can we imagine 1,000? I don't know if any church in Bro Ridge had 1,000 people in their buildings in Bro Bridge. But you understand what I'm saying, that people were drawn, just like today. It's a day that we come in and celebrate. We celebrate every Sunday, every day, really. But Sundays we come together in a corporate body. But can you imagine the people that stayed home and not miss their visitation? You see what I'm saying? Jesus shows up with us or without. He shows up at this particular time. God comes in at 9:30. He comes here every day at 9:30, even when the doors are closed. I don't know if he is or not. I'm not here every day at 9:30. But I can tell you one thing. He's here at 9:30 on Sunday. And I know he's here at 6 o'clock on Thursday. You know, there's no difference. Oh, I just go one time. No, Jesus is here every time we come together. How is that possible? Well, doesn't the Spirit of God live on the inside of each and every one of us if you're born again? All right, where's the Spirit of God now? If you got the Spirit of God on the inside of you, where is he at? He's right here. So every time you come in here, the Spirit of God is in the house. And the Spirit of God knows all things. God, the Spirit of God is wanting us to show him how much we love him. And that's a difference that a lot of people don't think about. But I can tell you, God loves us. The Spirit of God is in this place. I don't know if every one of you are born again. You know, I mean, you know what you mean by born again? That means that you're born again. How you get born again? Well, we kind of talked about that, haven't we? Well, we talked about it. Well, to be born again, didn't he talk to Nicodemus about that? How can you do that again? No, you have to be born again. Be born of the Spirit. God is Spirit, right? This is flesh. You know, you stick a thorn in your finger, you go, ow. Your spirit don't say, ow. Your spirit is hooked up with God. You're communicating through the spiritual realm with God, not your flesh. Your flesh is dirty. It's corrupt. But your spirit is hooked up with God. And you're able to communicate with God through the Spirit, not through your flesh. Have you ever been praying and all of a sudden something comes to your mind and you start wondering about that? You know, people like, I can remember a long time ago, people talked about it when the crock pot came out. Not the people. I'm talking about a crock pot that you plug in. People in the church would say, man, hurry up. I got to go check on my food. It's in that new crock pot. I don't know if it's going to burn it or what. So what happened? They got off of the spirit realm and went into the physical realm, right? Into the flesh. Into the flesh. My pork roast cost me a lot of money. I don't want to burn it. So step on it, Pastor. Get us done. Well, if you got a pork roast, go get it. You know, because if you're not in the spiritual realm, you can go check on that and get out of the way of the Spirit moving. That sounds harsh, but that's the way it is. You know, the Spirit of God is wanting to move. And, you know, if somebody's getting off course, because if the Spirit of God lives in you, we need to understand that he's not worried about that pork roast. He's worried about your salvation. He's worried about your healing in your body. He's worried about, you know, he's not really worried. He's concerned about it, but he's wanting you. We have to, you, us, me, everyone, we have to release our feelings and understand that it's God's will. God's will that we do what he says we'll do. But you see what I'm saying? That we're not focused on, we come into church, we play around a little bit, we do this, we do that. It's time. It's good to play. It's good to say hello to everybody. But then it's time to get down to the pork roast and worship God Almighty. And understand that distractions. I can remember being in church and somebody be, not in this one, but be sitting over here and somebody be yakking and talking and looking on the phone. And they said, what can I do? It wasn't here. What can I do? Move. I mean, what you mean? That what they going to think? I said, they probably not even thinking. Don't even know you moved. If they're more worried about a cell phone or whatever it is. Now, you got your cell phone, you look up the scripture. But you understand what I'm saying? If you're not where you need to be, move. Move into a place to where it's you and God. We don't come because of friendship. We come because of God. It's good that we have friends. Praise the Lord. And it's good that we're able to do that. But the main thing is we come to church to worship God. We worship God in everything that we do. We walk in those doors. We reverence him. We give him all the praise, glory, and honor. Can you imagine? If we're not reverencing him, it's like walking in with a trash can. You know, the one with the wheels. You walk in with the wheels. You reach your hand in and start throwing it out. Throwing the trash out all over the floor. And you just walk in. That's not reverencing God, is it? And the same thing when we come into God's house, we want to be right before God. Or getting right before God. Because a lot of times we come in and we have to repent. We have to let the Spirit of God speak to our heart and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And then we start just do what we're supposed to be doing. Praise the Lord. Are you getting anything out of this? Hallelujah. But you know, what has the resurrection done for you? Have you felt rejected by God before? Have you ever felt those things before? That, you know, Jesus wants to know you personally. He wants to spend time with you. Do we spend time with the Lord? Do we give him part of the time of the day? You know, I mean, you think that, you know, it's like God wants us. He wants us to put him first and not second. And you know, a lot of times things come up and people go do that instead of coming to worship God. And it's sad to say that, but it does. Things that come up and it takes us away. Well, that's the only day I could do that. No, it's not. Well, that's the only day they could come and do whatever they... No, that's not. Look, I go to church. You know, we've had people try to tell us, no, we go to church on Sunday and we go to church on Thursday. What other day can you come? Well, it might be 2 weeks. I said, as long as it's not on a Sunday or a Thursday. Because I give my time to the Lord. She said, well, you got to be here as a pastor. I'm just like you. I'm a human being. But you understand what I'm saying? I'm just like you. I could say, well, no, not today. I'm not going to work. I love God enough to be in his presence. I can be in his presence at home before I get here. And it's like, wow, God, you followed me here. No, God says, no, I was here waiting on you. What took you so long? Usually you're here at 8 o'clock. You see what I'm saying? We have a good relationship with God. God says, I said, God, is that woman? No, she made me late. No. That's all. I want to just see if you're awake. That's not true. Hallelujah. But I tell you what, it's good to come in God's house, though, and you laugh. You know, a lot of you, I can believe, that maybe needed a little laugh this morning. You needed that in your life. Hallelujah. And I'm believing that God wants to touch you right where you are. But you know, if you've been, he, like I said, he wants to know you personally. But if it's anyone in here that doesn't know Jesus personally, you know, somebody told me this the other day. He said, to really know Jesus, you know his middle name. Yeah? What's his middle name? Jesus? Jesus Christ? But you understand what I'm saying? To know somebody, you know their whole name. I know her full name. You know, I know most of you's full name. But, you know, that's knowing somebody. And we need to know Jesus under the same way, to have that personal relationship with him. But, you know, some people in the congregation may feel like that you've been rejected. You know, people, work, your job, whatever. You may have felt rejected at whatever you're doing. And, you know, also, you may feel like, I really need to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I really need to have a relationship with him. And, you know, that's up to you. It's between you. And like I said, we can give you the avenue. How do you get the avenue? By accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. And then you start studying his word. And the word will change you. The word of God will change you. And I believe that. But if you've been denied by Jesus and need to come back to him, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. If you deny Jesus and need to come back to him, hallelujah. And if you are here and never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, you don't have a relationship with him. You think you do, but do you really? Search your heart, because I can't tell you. But you understand what I'm saying? That do you have a relationship with Jesus? Have you accepted him as your Lord? If you've never done that, I want you to raise your hand. I want you to raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.